Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean. Happy Monday to you. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint, do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And I'm certainly grateful that you've joined us today as we begin our series called Always and Everywhere. And the big idea for the series is that we make our lives count as we make His name known. We're talking about missions realities in our world and certainly in our church, and how all of us, the church, can reach all of the world the way, you know, that God certainly intended for us to do that. And so we kind of did a part two in the message at Lewis Center the previous week. We had looked at the beginning of Acts chapter 6 and the church, and kind of how the church leaders stayed focused on the vision of making disciples through prayer and ministry of the word, while the widows were served by the early church, by them choosing these seven leaders, one of them being Stephen. And, you know, in the choosing of that, making that decision, you know, the thing that jumps out in verse 7 is that it says the word of God continued to increase and the number of disciples greatly multiplied. And it seems like there was this culture of priests. Now, I say that the real reality is that what was happening is that a bunch of Hebrew priests actually were being converted. And the reason they were being converted is because they saw people who weren't priests carrying out the priestly function of ministering to the poor. And the way that I kind of described that was, you know, you think about the first job you ever had and you were zealous on day one and everybody was looking at you. All the other employees were like, well, you just calmed down. And after about a month, you did calm down and you started acting like the rest of the employees and probably not giving your best effort. And then all of a sudden they hired somebody else new a couple of months later, and it made your first day look like, you know, you remembered what it was like on day one, and all of a sudden now they're making you look pretty average. And so these Hebrew priests probably were doing an average job of ministering to the poor. And this zeal that the early church had for people who didn't have the title priest, it ministered to the men who did have the title priest. And because of that, a lot of them became converted to Christianity. Now, the Sanhedrin didn't like that, so they took Stephen and they put him on trial. And Stephen gave a fantastic message of their response, or lack thereof, response to Jesus and their crucifixion of him. And he point blank told them, "You are stubborn. You are stiff-necked mules." And you know, Stephen wasn't one to pull punches, I guess. So Stephen just said, "Hey, look, you're the ones who crucified Jesus." And I think it's just critical that Stephen points out, listen, you're not mules because you crucified Jesus. You crucified Jesus because you're mules, because there's a stubborn person, and really a stubborn person that lives on the inside of all of us. And the reason for that is because the door to Eden was shut. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they shut the door to the Garden of Eden. And because of that, all of us struggle with belonging. Where do we belong? So we want to fit in. We try to fit in everywhere we go. We try and wear the same clothes as everybody else, drive the same car as everybody else, have that that status that everybody else has, because there's this longing to our belonging. We know we don't fit. We know we don't belong cosmically. So we constantly strive for it, which is the wonderful thing about Jesus, because when he came, he said he was the door. He was the one who was going to give us the way to God. He was the one who was going to be our roadmap to get to God. And so out of that, we really assume this priestly nature. Now, for a lot of us, that's a struggle. I know, depending upon the background you came out of, maybe you grew up maybe Catholic, and so you have a certain view of a priest. If you didn't grow up Catholic, and when I say the word priest, I don't know what you think of. I think of Father Mulcahy on MASH. If you didn't watch MASH, I'm really sorry for you. I'm really sorry about that. But, you know, Father Mulcahy was good and kind. He would never hurt anybody. And then I know that there's a flip side of that, you know, reality, that, you know, some people have gone through, you know, faiths that do have priests. Denominations, and there have been scandals and people have been hurt, and so maybe you have a very different view of what it means to be a priest. But the reality is that Jesus was our high priest. The book of Hebrews clearly says that, and because of that, we have the opportunity to approach God personally. We don't have to go through a priest. We are, as a matter of fact, there's a doctrine in our in early church history, it's still our church doctrine today called the priesthood of the believer. It means that because of Jesus, you can go directly to God. You don't have to have a priest. So that frees us up then to be goers in the name of Christ. And we do that, you know, corporately. We do that by planting other campuses, planting other churches. We're getting ready to launch Plain City and Marion campuses here in the next 4 weeks. And we sent people, and those people represent budget dollars. They represent serving hours. They represent training and all those kinds of things. Why would we send really good people to other places, trained people? Why would we do that? Because they sense that God is calling them, and the church was not to be local, or excuse me, it was meant to be local, but not located in a single place. In other words, God didn't expect everyone in the world to go to the Church of Jerusalem. He expected the people of Jerusalem to go plant churches. And it took persecution, really, to make that happen. And so in Stephen's being stoned to death, it became really a match that was lit in the early church for them to go to all the world, to other areas, to other places and spaces, and to plant churches and congregationalize, just like we're doing in Plain City and Marion. And then personally, what do you do? I shared this story that Cynthia Marshall, who was the first Black C-suite level leader, female C-suite level leader in AT&T, she eventually left AT&T to go be the CEO of the Dallas Mavericks. And when she spoke at Exponential back in 2016, Exponential is a national gathering of Christian leaders, someone asked her the question. They're like, well, what do you sense helped you be so successful at AT&T? And her answer was, she said, well, I believe that God called me and brought me to AT&T to be the pastor of AT&T. I'm going to substitute the word priest for AT&T. And she said, AT&T was paying me a salary for work, but God brought me there for ministry. And I just thought, man, how would that change our world if you looked at yourself as the pastor, as the priest of Chase Bank, if that's where you were to work, or Cardinal Health, or your 10th grade class if you're a student, or your 10th grade class if you're a teacher, or for your family, that your job is to shepherd them to God, not just to raise kids and help them get a college education. What if we all saw ourselves as a culture of priests, like the early church did, to represent people to God and God to people? I want to pray that into reality in our lives today, and then you take the opportunity to pray it. God, we pray for that heart, that attitude, that because you are our ultimate high priest, that we come directly to you. But as we come, God, we want to represent other people. We want to shepherd other people. So I pray, God, that we'll take that on personally, that we would live out this idea that we are a culture of priests, that we would see ourselves in our workplace, in our family, God, with our friends, our neighbors, our sports teams, or that we want to be a shepherd, to bring other people to you. Pray for our, certainly, God, Plain City and Marion as they get ready to launch over the next couple of weeks, and the difference that they're going to make in their communities as well. Now you take the opportunity to pray.